The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. Journal is out. It contains an article I've written titled Legalism and License. How are these two really the same error? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. Journal. You can also read about Pastor Brian Wolfmiller's journey from liberal Lutheranism and navel-gazing evangelicalism to the external promises of God in Holy Scripture. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. Journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
He's said to be a Buddhist. I don't think that faith offers the kind of forgiveness and redemption that is offered by the Christian faith. So my message to Tiger would be, Tiger, turn to the Christian faith, and you can make a total recovery and be a great example to the world.
After Senator McCain asked her to be his vice president, how did she respond?
She was very calm. I said, you don't seem nervous at all about this. And she said, no, it's God's plan.
We must communicate clearly to Muslims around the world that Al-Qaeda offers nothing except a bankrupt vision of misery and death, including the murder of fellow Muslims.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
The group calls itself Islam 4 UK. That's Islam the number 4 UK. In Great Britain, they have gone under many names, and the lawmakers there in Great Britain have made every attempt to ban this group under its many names. The leader of this Islamic group says that they can't be banned. They'll just change their name again. He says Muslims everywhere are obliged to work collectively to establish the Islamic State and Sharia law in the UK or wherever they are. Those things can't change. We're going to talk a bit about the banning of a Muslim group in the United Kingdom here in the first 15 minutes of Issues Etc. this Tuesday afternoon, January the 12th. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will be our guest. Pastor Ernie Lassman joins us in about 10 minutes. We're going to talk about the influence of the church growth movement on Christian worship. It's been profound and, by and large, negative. Dr. Jennifer Oback-Morse will be our guest in the second hour of the program. We'll talk about the federal legal challenge to California's same-sex marriage ban, Prop 8. It has been law by a number of avenues, and yet there are those who are trying to have it overturned. And if they succeed, it's a very ambitious goal. If they succeed in overturning Prop 8, it could well mean the legalization of gay marriage everywhere because it's a federal move. We'll talk about that with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse. Then Wesley Smith will join us. We'll review the top bioethics stories from the past decade. It's Tuesday afternoon, January the 12th. You can join us for the next 2 hours. I'm Todd Wilkin. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. Or you can Twitter us at @issuesetc. Joining us to talk about the ban on a Muslim group in the United Kingdom, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. Before we talk with Dr. Montgomery, let's hear the story from CNN.
Angry young Muslims on the march. One such group, Islam 4 UK, had announced its intention to hold an anti-war march through Wootton Bassett, the town that receives the bodies of fallen British soldiers. Although the group, also known as Al-Muhajirun, later abandoned those plans, it was subsequently banned by the British government. Attending a meeting or being a member of Al-Muhajirun or Islam 4 UK would be a criminal offence, a Home Office spokesman told CNN. The ban would prevent the group from holding meetings or raising money. The government says the move was not solely on account of the plan to march to Wootton Bassett. The group's leader is this man, controversial British Muslim cleric Anjem Chowdhury.
This work will never stop. This is a collective responsibility upon Muslims. However, you know, it's allowed, I think, even under this law, to have another platform, you know, and not to use the name, which has become illegal.
But a reincarnation under a different name may not necessarily help Al-Muhajirun, which ultimately wants to see the establishment of a Sharia law state in Britain.
Reforming a prescribed organisation, trying to basically evade being on the list and changing it to another name may not get somebody home, because the position under regulations is that the Secretary of State can treat the newly reformed organisation as though it were the old listed organisation.
The British government has yet to outline its reasons for proscribing the group, but it's likely to result in a legal challenge.
If it is going to seek to ban organisations, then it should look at other far-right organisations as well, white supremacist groups, for example. So it needs to be a more comprehensive strategy.
At issue really is, on the one hand, freedom of speech, the ability of somebody to go around ventilating views, however massively unattractive they may be to many, and whether or not that actually translates in the eyes of the law to something that justifies the executive, the Secretary of State, prescribing effectively that person, or rather the organisation.
The ban is expected to come into force in a matter of days, not weeks, says the government. Fionnuala Sweeney, CNN, London.
All right, joining us to talk about this UK Muslim group and its banning, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, a regular guest, Professor Emeritus at the University of Bedfordshire in England. He's a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States, Professor of Apologetics and Christian Thought at Patrick Henry College, and author and editor of more than 50 books, including his Tractatus Logico Theologicus. Dr. Montgomery, welcome back.
Thank you.
Was this a good or a bad move on the part of the British government, this ban of this Muslim group?
Oh, it's a good move. There's no doubt about it. The UK has been very lax in its treatment of Muslim organizations. And the irony of this is that many Muslim terrorists have gotten their start at radical Islamic centers in the UK. The problem is simply this. The English have always wanted to emphasize civil liberties and the right to make personal decisions and to avoid a kind of centralized repression of opinion as has gone on in other countries. And fine, we are for civil liberties. But the problem now is that terrorists have taken advantage of this situation and have made London, for example, a kind of training location for terrorism. And a number of the recent terrorist acts have been caused by people who have received this kind of Islamic extremist indoctrination in London and then have gone on to carry out their activities elsewhere. So the British government is now becoming aware of the danger of this kind of thing. This is simply an example of the tightening up that should have been done a long time ago.
You have lived and spent a lot of time in England. How prevalent is Islam in the UK, and how would you characterize Islam in the UK?
Well, most of the people of Muslim background have come in from the Indian subcontinent, from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and so forth, and they have come in because these areas were part of the British Empire. In those days, under the Empire, under what is known as the Raj, R-A-J, the people in these areas became accustomed to English law. English law was imposed, and Islamic law could only apply if it didn't conflict with English law, and it was used, therefore, only in very minor situations, in situations that we would call mediation or arbitration situations. The difference today is that after the end of the empire, India immediately divided into Pakistan, which is Muslim, and India, which is primarily Hindu. And they have spent the intervening years opposing each other, making life absolutely miserable for each other. And of course, these areas have become areas of potential terrorism. And now it becomes vitally important for the English crown to keep these people who have entered into the United Kingdom from fostering terrorism. Those who have done this are not first generation by any means. These are young people who have entered subsequently, and they have not absorbed English culture, language, or civilization at all. what they've done is to try to use this as a kind of a takeoff point for their own terrorist objectives.
Dr. Montgomery, we've got about a minute before we take a break, and we'll keep you a little bit on the other side of the break. I'd like your reaction to what the Muslim cleric who leads this group that's been banned, Anjem Chowdhury, says that that Muslims everywhere, this is a quote, Muslims everywhere are obliged to work collectively to establish the Islamic State and Sharia law in the UK or wherever they are. Those things can't change. With about a minute for your reaction and response to his statement.
Well, this is perfect nonsense. If they think this way, they should get out of the United Kingdom and out of all of those European countries that are committed to the European Convention on Human Rights. In Turkey, there was an attempt for of a Muslim extremist organization to establish a political party. This was banned, and the European Court of Human Rights sustained this. And they said if these people got control, they would eliminate all the civil liberties that are guaranteed by the European Convention. So if people take that attitude, they should simply be thrown out.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. We're talking about the banning of a Muslim group in the UK. He is author and editor of more than 50 books, including Tractatus Logico-Theologicus. You can find out more about this book and purchase it at our website, issuesetc.org. We'll have a link up there tonight, issuesetc.org. When we come back, a few more questions for Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on this Muslim group in the UK and its banning. What would it mean for America, where we also emphasize individual liberty, freedom of speech, and all those things for the good? What would it mean were we to find the same kind of groups openly protesting on the streets? How should it go here? We'll answer that question on the other side of the break. Then after our conversation with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, Pastor Ernie Lassman will join us to talk about the influence of the church growth movement on Christian worship. It's Tuesday, January the 12th. You're listening to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're a pastor or layperson in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we have some timely resources for you. The leadership of the LCMS is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. You'll find show transcripts about these proposed changes and an updated list of questions for President Gerald Kishnick's task force. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Listen on Demand.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit the CLCC.org. Check us out. Get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar, too. Go to thecLCC.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is with us for a few more minutes talking about the banning of a Muslim group in the United Kingdom. Dr. Montgomery, before the break, you were talking about essentially reacting to the political objectives of many Muslims in the Western world. Is this something inherent in Islam, a political objective, regardless of where the Muslim lives? If he takes the Quran and the teachings of Islam seriously, will he have the same kind of political objective, the establishment of a state and Sharia law?
Yes, he will. This is due to the fact that Islam is not a religion separated from politics or society. This is a total worldview which insists that the society be conformed to Islamic principle. And for this reason, people who are intelligently related to Islam will always try to achieve this sort of thing. You know, it's very interesting. In the United Kingdom, the Archbishop of Canterbury, whose theology is exceedingly weak, he is in favor, for example, of the ordination of homosexual clergy. The Archbishop of Canterbury has seriously suggested that Islamic law be incorporated into the English legal system. This shows a total incomprehension of the nature of Islam. This is a worldview, it differs from other religious positions in the sense that it necessarily insists upon altering the nature of a society to conform it to Islamic and Sharia principles. And wherever this has succeeded, the result has been a hideous violation of human rights, and it's the sort of thing that has to be opposed in the West. And our problem is primarily that we don't understand this, and we think that being tolerant requires our going along with it. The European Court of Human Rights, as I mentioned before the break, recognized that if an extremist Muslim party were to gain control in a country such as Turkey, the result would be the total cessation of civil liberties as guaranteed under the European Convention on Human Rights. And therefore, this kind of belief structure should simply not be allowed. It is contrary to the fundamental principles of democracy and civil liberties that exist in the West.
Finally, then, do you think that Western Europe has the knowledge of Islam and the willpower politically to deal with Islamic extremism?
Well, that depends on the country. England and the UK are waking up. They're waking up. France has always been ahead of the game on this, and there have been something like 125 Islamic extremists who have been removed from France by government action within the last year. So it depends on the country, my concern would be for people in the United States not to confuse civil liberties and democratic openness with an acceptance of people who, if they could get control, would totally alter the nature of the country. One has to see that nobody who would destroy a country has a right to operate within it.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is Professor Emeritus at the University of Bedfordshire in England. He's a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, and a member of the bar of the Supreme Court of the United States, professor of apologetics and Christian thought at Patrick Henry College, author and editor of more than 50 books, including his Tractatus Logico Theologicus. He's also the international director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, held annually in Strasbourg, France. Dr. Montgomery, any openings for this summer's academy?
Well, unfortunately, for people who have delayed registration, we are now closed for July 2010. But for July 2011, one can certainly apply, and we already have people who are applying. We can take only 20 people for this Institute of Advanced Studies in Apologetics. It's the only one in the world, and therefore we would certainly recommend that people who are listening to the program consider seriously 2011. Among other people on the staff for 2011, Professor Craig Parton, who is a regular on Issues Etc., and myself, and two other very, very fine Lutheran apologists who will be announced later.
Folks, you can find out more about the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights at our website, issuesetc.org. Dr. Montgomery, thank you for your time.
You're most welcome.